If you want to read with me, we're going to read out of 1 John chapter 5. A lot of the songs today go right along with kind of the theme of this message, and that happened last time, so it's pretty cool. 1 John is a letter from John. The name kind of gives it away, 1 John. But he's writing to groups of believers, and a main topic that he talks about, and we're going to read and talk about ourselves, is overcoming the world. And I think it goes without saying, we're kind of in a weird time right now in this world, kind of in a weird time in this country, in this nation, maybe with our churches. I know a lot of people are at home, and this virus that's going on, and I mean, I don't have to talk about it. We all know what's happening in the world right now, but it's a strange time. And John talks about overcoming the world. And so I think that the words that he writes pertains to us today. And so if you want to read with me, 1 John 5, starting at verse 1, and then we're going to read through verse 12. So 1 John 5, starting at verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. For if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for these moments that we have together in worshiping you. Lord, I do pray that it's pleasing to you. We know that as we are gathered together in your name, that here you are and you're present. And Lord, we know that when you are in the room, and that when you are in our lives, and that when you are in our hearts, Lord, that we can expect transformation, and we can expect, Lord, a rise in faith. And so, Lord, I pray that that's what we have today. I pray that we leave this place stronger, encouraged, Lord, and full of faith, not of fear, oh God, because we are going to believe the testimony that you have gave. We trust you, we believe in you, we praise you. Lord, I pray that you speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last time I was here, I shared a story about my little cousin Sheldon, and my grandma wasn't happy with me because I kind of made fun of him about going to the bathroom in his pants. But today I'm going to share another story about his little sister, Lonnie, my little cousin Lonnie. And maybe I don't live an exciting enough of a life that I got to tell little kid stories, but Lonnie is, how old is Lonnie? 3? Okay, well, I think she's late in her second year, 2 to 3. She's full of personality, and she's pretty spunky, which a lot of women are, is what I'm coming to learn. But I just made half the congregation mad at me. But Lonnie has a good personality, and she's funny, but she is pretty, and she speaks her mind, even though she's 3, and I think she's around 2, or maybe she just turned 3 at the time of the story. But she was with my older cousin, Tyler, who was in his early 30s, and he was a professional BMX rider. And if you don't know what that is, he could do tricks and flips and stuff on a bicycle, and he would compete, and he instructed people, and he lived in Pennsylvania for a while, but he moved back home. And so he was home with Lonnie, and he had Lonnie riding a bike. And so I'm sure it had training wheels or whatever on it, but she fell off the bike, and I don't know if she got dirty and that's what made her mad or if she or what she was mad about, but she fell off this bike, and she said, "This stupid bike." She's mad, calling this bike stupid, calling it bad names. And so Tyler was with her, and he picked her back up, and he said, "Lonnie, do you think Jesus would say that? Do you think Jesus would say that?" Now, she's only 2 or 3, so she doesn't quite comprehend maybe who Jesus is like we would. She wouldn't have a full understanding, but she's been to church and with the family, and they take her to church, and so she's been around and sang and worshiped and heard about Jesus. And so when my cousin Tyler said, "Do you think Jesus would say that?" I think she understood that there was this standard being placed on her that she didn't think was quite fair. And so she looked at him. She said, "Do I look like Jesus?" I don't even think she was 3 at the time. She said, "Do I look like Jesus?" And if you knew her, you could see it happening. Can I get an amen from you guys? She's a pretty spunky little gal. And she said, "Do I look like Jesus?" And she's barely 3 years old. But I think we can relate to the way she was feeling, because I think at times if we believe in Jesus, and I'm assuming most of us in here do believe in Jesus, we're all singing to him and worshiping him, and I think we're going to continue that here in a little while. And if you don't know Jesus, maybe we can change that in about an hour. I'm joking, I'm not going to preach that long, but hopefully we can change that. But if you believe in Jesus, there's this standard and a calling that we have as followers of Jesus that I think sometimes might not seem fair, and we might not feel like we're capable of. And so Lonnie was frustrated because she didn't feel like she was capable. She didn't feel like she was capable of meeting that standard. She said, do I look like Jesus? Do you think I'm capable of meeting that standard?" And I think that that's where a lot of us are at today. Do I look like Jesus? I think some of us feel like we're not capable of meeting the standard that's been set before us at times. And we read 1 John where he says that if you believe in Jesus, then you've been born of God. And if you've been born of God, then you're going to love others and keep the commandments, and you're going to overcome the world. You're going to overcome the world. And that's what we're going to talk about today, overcoming the world. John says, if we believe in Jesus, then we have overcome the world. And I don't know about you, but I feel overwhelmed by the world right now. If I'm just being honest and transparent, I know we had a word, and I believe in it. We overcome, and we win, and we conquer. And so I my goal and prayer is that we leave this place full of faith today and not fear. And so I don't want to speak that, but if I'm being honest with you, I have felt overwhelmed by the world in the past month or so. I've had a lot of friends and family experiencing anxiety in ways that they haven't felt before. I've heard of a lot of people in depression, and we're living in a weird time right now. It goes without saying, but we're living in a weird time. And John, we read John this morning, and it says we overcome the world. And I think a lot of us feel overwhelmed by the world. We feel overwhelmed by the world. And I look around, and I see a lot of people in pain and a lot of people hurting. And myself, I still struggle at times, and we still experience temptation. And John says we overcome the world, and I think a lot of times we feel overwhelmed. It almost feels like John doesn't realize what kind of world we're living in today. And I don't think that's the case. I don't think that he's naive of the way the world is. We read 1 John 5, the first 12 verses. If you look down at verse 19, he says that this whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And I don't think he's belittling God, and I don't think he's exalting Satan, but he's well aware of the state that the world's in. The word that he uses and what he's talking about when he says world, he's talking about a broken system. And if you look around and if you watch the news enough and if you hear enough talk, you know that today we are living in a broken system, in a fallen world that is in rebellion against God. It's pretty evident, and I think that it gets worse and worse all the time. And so John says we overcome the world, this broken system. He is well aware of the state that the world is in. He's well aware of the state that the world is in. This is a broken system, and really, there's no hope in this world. There's no hope in this world. And so if you're in this place today and you're looking for peace and or hope or reprieve or rest or confidence or assurance for the future, this world doesn't offer it. And so if you look long enough, you're just going to be disappointed. There is only hope in Jesus. Jesus is our only hope. There's no hope in this world. And I think that that's what John is trying to point us to. And he says that we have this hope, we have this faith, that we overcome the world. But I think it's hard. I do think it's hard. Because I think we have a trust issue. And if we read the word faith and belief and persuasion, we're going to get into that in a little bit. But it's all talking about belief and trust. And so faith is really trusting in God. And so rebellion, at its core, if you boil it down, it is the lack of trust. And I think we see this in the beginning of creation. We know God created the world, and he created everything, and he said that it is good. And then he created mankind, man and woman, and he saw that it was very good. We were made in his image, and it was very good. And he gave us dominion. He wanted us to rule with him and live in harmony with one another and live in harmony with him. And Satan came in the form of a serpent, and he caused Adam and Eve to question their trust in God, question their faith in God. He said, did God really say what he had told them? He tried to get them to question their faith in God. And then he said that the reason why the Lord didn't want them eating of the forbidden tree, he gave them all of the plants and all of the trees to eat from. And there was one that we couldn't, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan said that the Lord didn't want us eating of it because we would become like him, all-knowing. And so Adam and Eve, they sinned. Eve's the one who ate the fruit, but I already picked on the women earlier, so I better not go back into that. Adam and Eve, they both sinned together, and they brought sin into the world. And it was a lack of trust. They thought that God's way, that almost like he was hiding something from them or keeping something from them or restricting their freedom. And so they wanted to choose their own way, sin into the world. And really, faith is trust in God. And so rebellion is the lack of trust in God, to where we don't believe that his way is better. We don't truly believe that. So we take our own path. And that's where sin comes from, and that sin in our own life, that's really what it boils down to, is not trusting that his way is better. So faith is knowing that his way is better. Faith is really believing Jesus and what he says and what he has done for us and the reality and the truth that we can live in. Faith is living as if what God says is true. And I'm convinced that what he says is true. But it's hard. It's hard. It's hard when we look at a worldly mindset or a worldly perspective or a carnal perspective. We read where John said, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." That we keep his commandments. John is saying that if we love Jesus, if we believe in him, then we're going to love one another, submit to one another, love one another, and then also we will keep the commandments. And if we look at that from a worldly perspective, we see the word, we hear the word commandments, and we feel like that's a set of rules or a list of rules, a list of restrictions keeping us from being able to do things. A command is you have to do this or do that, or we can't do this and we can't do that. But that's looking at it from a worldly perspective. And Jesus came on the scene and came into the earth, and he spoke of the commandments, and he said that it all boils down to loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength, and then loving others as yourself. So we saw commandments from a worldly perspective at times, and then Jesus comes and he really reveals what it truly is. Jesus is the manifestation of God. I believe that he is the revelation of who God is. Paul said that in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the full representation of who God is. He was God on the planet, and he reveals to us the heart of God. And as we see him, I believe that we will see that his way is better. And as we come to know him for who he is, I believe that we will trust and have faith and know that what he says is true and that what he has for us is better than even our own plans, even if it doesn't seem like it in the moment. I believe we see him, and as he reveals himself to us, which I believe he is still doing today, I think that we will be persuaded to follow after him. Persuaded. I said that faith is meaning trust and belief, and it is. But if you read into faith, and if you study the word faith in Scripture and what it really means to have faith, you'll run into this phrase, divine persuasion. Divine persuasion. A lot of biblical scholars and theologians will use this phrase, divine persuasion, and it's talking about being divinely persuaded, being persuaded of who God is. And so if you believe in Jesus, then you've been persuaded of the truth. You've been persuaded of the gospel, that he came to the planet and he died and then rose again, and we have that life in us. And I'm persuaded of that. And if you believe in Jesus, then you should be persuaded. I'm persuaded that he is God. I'm persuaded that he is good and that he's faithful. I'm persuaded that his way is better than our own. For I believe in the testimony of God. The testimony of God, that phrase, or the word testify or testimony, it showed up 7 times from verses 6 to 11. Testimony, it means to give witness. The testimony of God is how he is persuading us to follow him, to follow after him. It's how he is revealing himself. And John lists out three that testify, three witnesses, if you will, the blood, the water, and the Spirit. And I think that they're all pointing us to Jesus. They're all pointing us to the incarnation. The water was speaking of physical birth. The people that John was writing to, there were a lot of false teachers saying that, yes, Jesus was God, but he really didn't come in the flesh, or he couldn't have been God. And John was dealing with that. And he said that there are three witnesses, the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And the water is speaking of physical birth. The blood is speaking of physical death. He really died. And then the Spirit is resurrection life and resurrection power. How many of you know that Jesus rose again? That he did not stay in the grave. He is alive and he's on the throne today. There are three that testify, and John speaks of them, the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And they're pointing us to Jesus. They're pointing us to God coming in the flesh to restore and to redeem and to reconcile. And so, yes, we live in a fallen world, in a broken system, and I think that's evident, but God came to save the world. He came to save the world. John here, 1 John, is the same author who gives account of the gospel story in the Gospel of John. And a lot of the truths that we see in John are kind of echoed in his letter here in 1 John. And I'm going to quote a Bible verse, and some of you may not know it. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For God so loved the world. And so John's talking about the world, and I think we can talk about it in a negative tone, in which this world is full of sin and evil. And yes, I know that, and I think we all know that, but God came to save the world. He came to restore and to redeem the world, and this is our victory. That's the testimony of God, that he came in flesh and dwelt among us, and he became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. And so if we believe in Jesus, then I believe that we're righteous before him. If we believe in Jesus truly, then I think we're persuaded that his way is better, and we will live as if what he says is true, if we believe in the testimony of God. Jesus said himself that in the world there will be tribulation. there will be trouble. He said this in John 16, I believe. He said, in the world there will be trouble, there will be tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And so John's talking about overcoming the world in this first passage, this first paragraph, verses 1 through 5, then we get to 6 through 12, and it's all pointing us to God coming in the flesh. It's all pointing us to Jesus. And this is the testimony of God. This is why we can have faith. This is why we can come together and sing. This is why we can go out into the world that is fallen and broken, but we can have life and peace and assurance and confidence and hope when nobody else does. This is the testimony of God. This is the testimony of God. And I believe that through Jesus, we are more than conquerors. He said, take heart, for I have overcome the world. And I believe that in Jesus, when we believe in Jesus and accept him and live for him, that we overcome through him. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. This is the testimony of God. And so I'm persuaded today. I'm convinced. I have faith that we overcome presently and then also in the end, that we overcome. And that word that was given, we win. We're going to make it through this. We are going to make it through this. Jesus said that he would build his church. And so no matter what the news says, I believe the report of the Lord. I believe what Jesus says is true, because he is God alone. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the King. I love this sign up here, worship the King. He is the King. And so I know a lot of people are worried about what's happening in our nation, in our government, in our world. And not that we shouldn't care about it and be aware, because I think we should be, but we should always and constantly be filled with faith, because we know who sits on the throne. And so no matter what comes, whether it's tribulation or trials or temptation or persecution or famine or darkness or whatever comes, I believe in the testimony of God, and I believe that we overcome. And so no matter what you're feeling in the moment, the testimony of God is greater. John deals with a lot of things that I think all of us still focus on and deal with today. And he talks about it in 1 John, that if our heart condemns us, there's someone greater, God, and his testimony is greater than the testimony of our heart. And we read that the testimony of God is greater than the testimony of men. And so no matter what we feel in the moment, if you don't feel righteous, if you don't feel worthy, when you mess up and you don't feel it, there's a testimony, there's a cross, there's blood that was poured out that speaks a better word, that speaks a better testimony. And so I believe that we should be filled with faith today. This is our victory. The water, the blood, and the Spirit. They remind us of who we are in Jesus. And they persuade us of who we are in Jesus. So my hope and my prayer today is that we would be reminded of and we would be persuaded of the testimony of God, because that is the victory that we have in this place, the testimony of God. So if the worship team wants to come up with me, I know I kept it pretty short today. I'm going to read Revelation 12:11. Hopefully we can put it up on the screen. If not, I can. Yeah, there it is. Revelation 12. So we know that in the end we win. And we say all the time, I read the back of the book and I know that we win in the end. Well, this is the back of the book, and it's talking about the end times. And I would say that most of us feel like we're living in the end times, and I think that's because we are. Ever since Jesus ascended, the church has been in the end times, and each day we get closer, and I think that it's evident with what's taking place. But in the end, we do win. And so Revelation 12, verse 11, this is John again, John the Revelator writing, and he's talking about us overcoming Satan and the defeat of Satan in the end. So we know the world lies in the power of the evil one, but in the end, we have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And those are the same phrases and the same wording that we read in 1 John 5. He came by the blood. This is the testimony. And then also, whoever believes in the Son of God has life. We have life. We have life in this place. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so the blood of the Lamb is powerful. There is power in the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and makes us new and washes away every sin. And so when the accuser comes, the serpent comes, like we talked about in Genesis in the creation account, and he was accusing and deceiving, the blood washes us and cleanses us, and it's part of our victory. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. John says that he who is in you, he who is in us, is greater than he who lives in the world. If we believe in Jesus, John says, we have this testimony in us. And so when we walk out of this place, when we go to work tomorrow, if we go to school, wherever we go, we have this testimony in us. And so we should be filled with hope. We should be filled with faith. We should be filled with confidence. We should be filled with power. I believe that we walk in power and authority. And so, yes, this world lies in the power of the evil one, but we are more than conquerors, and we have overcome. And so the unbelieving world is under that power, but if we believe in Jesus, the true King, the true God, the everlasting one, then we have that power and authority on the inside of us. And I believe, and I'm convinced, and I am persuaded today, and I hope that you are, that he is good, that he is God, he is the King, he alone sits on the throne. And I think we should have confidence, and we can be and should be persuaded of this. And so my prayer is that through the word and then through the spirit that testifies to us, that Jesus would continue to reveal himself to us. Because as we see him and as we know him, we are persuaded that his way is better than our own. And so whatever this world, whatever happens in this season, even in this season, we are more than conquerors, even in this season. And so I want to pray for all of us at once. And then also, I'm not going to give really an official altar call. I want to sing and worship together and continue in prayer. But if you would like prayer specifically, then I would love to pray with you. I'll be up here. But I want to pray for all of us. And my prayer is that we leave with more confidence and more faith than how we came in, because we can believe in the testimony of God, and the testimony of God is true. He's true. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is good, and he is God, and I love him, and I believe that he's changing our lives. I believe that he is with us in this, in our presence today, and that he's in us. I truly believe it. Lord, I thank you so much that you are good, and that as you reveal yourself and you reveal your character of who you are, Lord, that we can be persuaded of your goodness, and we can know that you are faithful, Lord, and we see throughout the ages, Lord, that you have never failed, that you are the conquering King, and Lord, you suffered and you died and you went like a lamb to the slaughter, but Lord, you rose again, and we know that that same power lives in us, and Lord, we know that that same power is what is allowing us to overcome and to conquer, and Lord, we see this world in the physical, and it looks like everything's falling apart, but we know by faith, Lord, that you are restoring and that you are redeeming. And Lord, we are going to see revival in our hearts. We will see revival, Lord, in this church, in your church, across America, across this world. You. We believe your testimony that it's true. We believe that you are the way, that your way is greater. So God, let us be filled with faith in this place. Let faith arise. Let faith arise in our hearts, O God. And let God arise and our enemies be scattered. We believe you. We trust you, O God. We trust you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.